Kind Father, we're ready this morning to dive into your word. We recognize that we need your spirit to do that. And we pray that you'll give us understanding this morning and open our hearts to what you have to tell us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now there's a difference. Now we can hear him. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New King James Version, Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Clearly, the circumstances of the birth of Jesus were a tad different than what we're used to today. And of course, the conception was a miraculous conception. That was different. We know that Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she would have a child. Now, that's not a very plausible story, of course, because, you know, if Lucy told me, listen, this is a miracle and this is how this child is to be born, I'd be questioning that. And of course, Joseph did too, didn't he? So God gives him a dream and confirms the story that she was to have Jesus. But I want you to think about this. If you're Joseph and Mary, Joseph and Mary know that this child is the Son of God, that this child is the Messiah. There are things that I wonder, maybe they had no reason to be afraid, because if this is the child of God, if this is the promised Messiah, then God's going to take care of him. It's like if when Jean-Luc was born, maybe, Donald Trump said that I'm going to take care of everything on Jean-Luc, his food, his clothing, medical, but everything I'll take care of. There are things that I wouldn't have to worry about. So if this is the child of God, maybe there is nothing I have to be concerned of because God's going to take care of him. And yet, this is a heavy responsibility. God told Joseph in that dream, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When Jean-Luc was born, my firstborn, I was, standing there on the crib, before the crib and asking, wondering, what will he become? What kind of person he will be? What will he do? What will he become? But Joseph did not have to ask those questions. God told him, he is the Son of God. He will save his people from their sins. Joseph knew what he will do, what he would become. And if I'm Joseph, though, that creates additional questions in my mind. Additional stresses in my mind if I'm Joseph. Because if I'm Joseph, I'm thinking, Lord, are you sure you want me to be raising your kid? Because I don't have it all together. I'm a mess myself. What if I mess up? What if I don't raise him the right way? Lord, if I am Joseph, I would be asking excuses. Lord, find somebody else. Find somebody else. Of course, we know that as the story goes, because of the census, they find themselves in Bethlehem. No room in the inn, so they are led to a manger, and this is where Jesus is born. Now, Luke doesn't go into a lot of details, does he? There in verses 1 through 7, it's just a quick summary of how Jesus was born. But moms here know the process, right? You know the process of when a child is born, the pain, the problems. I mean, think about it. Mary's water broke, right? She started having contractions. The contractions were getting closer together and with greater intensity. She felt overwhelmed with the process of what's going on in her body. Her back began to hurt. The pain that she was experiencing was excruciating. The effort, the sweat, the pushing, the stretching, the burning. I don't know. I mean, this is what I'm told, of course. But I've been around enough ladies who were about to give birth to know this is what they go through. And finally, amazingly, this little child is born. But think about Jesus. The baby is covered in mucus, amniotic fluid, blood. Some of these, some babies are born with what's called vernix, which is a little hair, that hair that it's on their heads. Perhaps Jesus was born with his head a bit deformed. This happens to babies. You know, birth is a very traumatic experience for a baby. Skin was blue, probably, a little cyanotic, because he didn't have, until he took his first cry. Mary gave birth, and Jesus came into the world just like you and I, just like we do. Through his mother's strong efforts, bloody, slippery, and yet beautiful. The point is, friends, that Jesus was a baby. He was a normal baby born in the same way. Jesus was a real human being. He was a real human being. Now, you know, oftentimes we don't think about Jesus this way, but as a baby, Jesus soiled himself, didn't he? There was no Pampers back then, so who knows? Jesus probably spit up his milk. Huh? Jesus cried when he was hungry. Jesus probably had colics. This is probably what was happening to John Luke that night, and we were crying because we didn't know what was going on. Jesus probably went through that. You wonder if Jesus as a baby got himself into trouble. He's a baby. John Luke, you know what John Luke did one time? He covered himself with Vaseline. Head to toe. Vaseline. Now, that's hard to get out. I can't remember what we did, but maybe he still has some behind his ears. You wonder if Jesus went through some of these things. Jesus cried when he was hungry. He was completely dependent upon his parents for every need. Think about it. Jesus dependent upon his parents for every need. Now, at Christmas season, we like to think of Jesus as that baby born in Bethlehem in the manger. And, oh, Jesus was, born on Christmas. Of course, we know Jesus wasn't born in Christmas, right? I think it's very clear that he wasn't born, scholars believe, maybe around the fall. But the point is, Jesus was human. He was a human being. But Jesus was much more than just a baby. He would become much more than just a baby. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. John, of course, is pointing us back to what? To Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the mystery of mysteries. That this little baby, this child that is unable to take care of himself, that he is dependent upon his own creation, is God himself. Charles Wesley writes, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. You know what babies do when, you give him your finger. What do they do? He grabs your... It's so great to play with that. We were in Philadelphia. We finally met Lucy's niece's baby. And of course, we could put him down. But that's what they do. They grab your... But, think about that. Here Jesus is grabbing Mary's fingers, those very hands that created heaven and earth. I mean, put your head behind that. See if you can comprehend it. The word Emmanuel, we like to say it, God with us, God incarnate, God in the flesh. Those words roll off our lips, but have we really thought about what it means? Think about it. Think about it. The one who made this vast universe became insignificant compared to it. The one who had all the glory and the power and purity and the praise became poor, despised, helpless. The one who was before the world became a tiny, insignificant speck in this world. It's amazing to me. Jesus, this baby, this seemingly insignificant child born to a poor couple in a manger, was the creator of the universe. Amazing. But he's much more than that. We've already been told, God told Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. The angels told the shepherds in the fields in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This child, this bloody baby, born in a manger, was none other than the promised Messiah. The promised Messiah, God in the flesh, who would save humanity from their sins, God in the flesh, who would save you and me from our sins. And of course, Mary and Joseph knew this. They already had been told that this was what Jesus would do, the Messiah. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that Joseph died shortly before Jesus started his ministry. So he didn't get to see. But Mary, think about it. Mackenzie just saying, Mary, did you know that your baby boy, that the one that you delivered would soon deliver you? But think about it. Mary, Joseph, they were Jews. Most likely they believed, like everybody else, that the Messiah would become a rich, conquering king who would defeat the Romans. They knew he was the Messiah. They just didn't know how he would accomplish this. Maybe thinking at some point he's going to become a rich, conquering king, and I'm his mother, so I'm going to be taken care of. You wonder if she thought about the words of Isaiah 53, "He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." This is that baby. That baby, that human child, with all his cuteness and all the difficulties of all babies, was the very person who lived a perfect life. The very person who died a terrible, cruel, painful death upon a Roman cross. Every pang of pain of the nails upon his hands and his feet. The blood dripping down from his forehead because of those thorns upon his head. Every whip of the floggers was caused by you and me. Because of you and me. This is that child. This is that baby that was born in a manger. Jesus would become a dying Savior. If Joseph asked that question, what will he become? He will become your dying Savior. But there's more. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." See, Jesus, this baby, not only would die on the cross, but he would rise from the dead. He would resurrect, and now he is in a heavenly sanctuary interceding for you and me, but he also wants to live within us. He wants to live within our hearts. That's what Paul says, Christ lives in me. He enables us, he empowers us to live a righteous life before him. And think about it, if that baby that created heaven and earth lives within you, do you have to worry about anything? He is the creator of heaven and earth. There's nothing for him that is impossible. That is that baby. That is your dying Savior, the one who wants to live within you. You know, we face different challenges in our lives. People face challenges every day, as we've seen this week. But we don't have to be concerned because Jesus empowers us. He lives within us and he frees us from our concerns and our worries, allowing us to trust him to provide for our every need. Do you trust him? Do you trust this little baby to provide for you your every need? Allowing us to live different lives than the world around us. He enables us to love the unlovable. He enables us, friends, to do what seems impossible. To proclaim the everlasting gospel to a world that needs to hear it. That's that baby. Jesus is our empowering Lord. He would become our empowering Lord. But there's more. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 17. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on a white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, some people are not very comfortable seeing Jesus in this way, this baby that was born in the manger in this way, treading the winepress, making war, treading the winepress to the fierceness of the wrath of God. But see, we must also remember that this little baby will also become our judge. He will become our judge. Jesus himself said that he would judge us. In Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels, the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of God, on his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Jesus will become your judge. But because you have received his gift of salvation, you don't have to worry about that judgment. Because not only Jesus will become our judge, but Jesus will become our advocate, our defender, our defense attorney. John said it in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you that so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, a defender, a defense attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's what that child would become. That baby would become. And once that judgment is complete, this same Jesus, this same seemingly insignificant child born to a poor couple in a manger with all the cuteness and difficulties that babies have, this same Jesus will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is him. He is the one who will come in the clouds of heaven and resurrect those who have died with the hope of Christ, having received the gospel of salvation. He is the one who will take the living and the resurrected dead unto the clouds of heaven to reign with him. He is the one, friends, who will create a new heaven and a new earth. He is the one who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That is that Jesus, that baby. I wonder what is that baby to you? What does he mean to you? Who is this Jesus? Well, he is that baby in the manger. Very human, a real human baby, but at the same time, and you know, we're finite minds, we can't comprehend this. He is also the creator of the world, God himself, God made man. But he's also a dying savior. The one who gave his life so that you could live forever. The one that took your place on that cross. That's him. He's also our empowering Lord, living in our lives, empowering us, enabling us to live a righteous life before him. Enabling us to proclaim this gospel of salvation to a dying world. He is our judge. But he's also our defender, and he is our returning king. Who will return and take us home and will put an end to sin and create a new heaven and a new earth. That is this child. That's what he would become. That's who he is. But again, you need to ask a more personal question. What does he mean to you? It's interesting that, talking about maybe providential, that Mackenzie's saying, Mary, did you know? Because this is, it really makes us think about who that child would become. And a mother, from a mother's perspective, what will he do? Who will we be? What will he become? And so I want you to meditate on that. We're going to show a video now about the very song. But I want you to really meditate and think what Jesus means to you on this Christmas season, and what ought you to do about it? Let's listen to the song.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, and the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
Mary,
and this child that you
That and much more. That's who that baby is. But more importantly, when we think about the Christmas season, he is God's gift to you. The gift of salvation. That he didn't have to give. Yeah. He didn't have to do that. He could have swept us off. But he gave it because he loves you. He gave him because he loves you. And one day soon we will be in an eternal kingdom with him with that gift of Christmas. Would you want to surrender your life to a God like that? Would you want to accept a gift like that? Why don't you stand? Let's have a closing prayer. As we think about Christmas, may indeed, that's what, you know, we say it a lot. It becomes a cliche. But he is indeed the reason for the season. Nothing else matters but that gift. Let us pray. Father, thank you. As we start this month and Christmas is already upon us, Lord. This season that for many becomes really stressful and really busy. So much so that we often forget the reason why it's there. Oh, Lord, we're thankful. You know, our words cannot express how we feel and the gratitude in our hearts for your willingness to not let us die forever, for not just pushing us away, not just giving up on us, but just even before we were born, even before we were created, the plan of salvation was in place. And you decided to give Jesus. And although as we look at him as a defenseless child, all that he became, all that he is, judge, advocate, king, savior, best friend, redeemer, so many things, Lord. He is our savior this morning, and Lord, we want to reiterate and reconfirm our commitment to you of accepting that gift of salvation that you have provided through that child, through that baby, through Jesus Christ. We praise you and we honor you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.